Thanks for downloading this free audio sermon from Bethel Church, Coventry. For more audio downloads, updates on the building project and other information, why not visit us online at www.bethelcoventry.org.uk.
Matthew 13, 1 to 9. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered round him that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil where it produced a crop, 160 or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear. Just to say as well, the creche, which is normally in the lounge, Jane asked me just to mention, obviously the lounge is now set up as a prayer room, and you're still welcome to go in there, but it's not especially baby friendly maybe, so maybe don't let them crawl around too much. Sorry. Okay.
Thanks very much, Liz, and the team. Can you hear me okay? Am I coming out of this? Can you hear me? Am I coming out of the speakers? All good. Barry's got his hand up, so that's got to be a good thing as well. So we have a new fridge magnet. Those of you who have been with us a number of years will know that this time of the year, we have a new motto at the beginning of the year, and it's actually big enough. We threatened to have car magnets one time, but this is wonderfully big, and it's receive, practice and share, which I will be talking about in a few moments' time. Our 2018 motto, it's not there to make a difference to your fridge's life, it's there to make a difference to our life. So please do. There are magnets at the back if you haven't had one. Ideally one per household. I know they're very, very good and they're very free, so it's very tempting to have lots. But please take one if you can. Or if one for someone. It's always a good talking point. But do take them. If they run out, see me. Keith, they've run out and I can get some back orders and get you them within a week or so. So that's, please, do take one of those. That'd be really, really good. And I'm very excited about the 24/7 initiative. We believe that the Lord is going to speak to us in a way that we don't control. We like to control because we just like to know what's going to happen. It's just normal, and that's okay. It's just that the Spirit has a way of doing things that against everything we thought was the norm. In Peter, in Acts chapter 10, we see that really. Surely not. Surely not, Lord. This isn't how you work. I've read my Bible, and I'm not to do that. But please do pray. Frank has had an operation in hospital. And he's still there. He's had part of one of his toes may have been removed, and certainly some part of his foot as well. So he's going to have a real adjustment to make. He's in great spirits. Frank is great. But it's hard. Whatever you say, that's a massive adjustment. So do please encourage Frank and Mercy. And pray for James and Anna as well, the older children. It's difficult. Bert's also had a fall. So it may be that the ice has come upon us again and it can catch us out, can't it, when we're not expecting it. And so please, we'll pray for those. And I'm going to pray today that the Holy Spirit speaks to all of us. It's really lovely to see you. If this is your first time, welcome. Don't rush off, please, at the end. Do make yourself known. And if it's not your first time, please don't rush off. It's just good to chat. I thought this morning was great, and I thought it sounded good as well. It's something different. It's just really well done, really well done. Thank you. That makes my job here so much easier. But we need the Spirit. I need the Spirit of God to come right now and anoint whatever he's going to say. Take away anything I'm going to say. And to just leave in your heart and my heart those things that he wants us to know. And to also put into practice and share with others. And so shall we pray together, and then we'll see how the Spirit works amongst us as we look to his word in Matthew 13. Lord, I thank you so much for the freedom we have. Thank you for the diversity of this congregation, from the very youngest to the oldest. We thank you, Lord, that we can come and express our worship to you. Those words are heavy words. They say, I will stand. My life surrendered. My heart surrendered. I guess, Lord, it's fairly easy for me to say that here in this city, in this country, where it's legal for us to stand here today. Lord, we think of those brothers and sisters where it's illegal, where they still sing those words against all odds and declare Jesus is Lord at great cost. Lord, might we, outside of circumstances, whether the sun's shining down on us or in that desert place, might we declare that I will stand for you, Lord Jesus, my Savior, my Jesus, my Savior. Lord, there is none like you. And I thank you for those who stand for you here. Those who stood in the past, we stand on their shoulders as a legacy into a new year. Some 80 plus years of the gospel declaration out of this postcode. Lord, we thank you so much. I pray for Derek Simpson, that you'd have your hand upon him. Lord, I pray for Frank at this time, who served you for many years in different countries. But Lord, always with the same passion for Jesus. And I pray that you be everything he needs, Lord. I thank you that he walks with you, that he continue to walk with you, whatever people do to our bodies. And thank you for the NHS. Lord, we can still, as it were, walk with you each day. And I pray you'll strengthen Frank, that he will draw on all those things and lessons and life experiences that have shaped who he is today. And for Mercy and for James and Anna, just pray your blessing for others who are ill. Think particularly of Bert as well, who's fallen. Thank you for his faithfulness to this place in his later years, the faithfulness to the youth group, his quiet service there, how he represents you well. Lord, would you have your way? I pray that you'd work amongst us this morning and you'd get the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. I've got a picture somewhere. This should be a picture, hopefully, Gareth, of a kind of group of people there. I don't know if you can see that. Okay. It's, looks great. I was kind of, I've not taken a picture of any particular church. I hope not. And if you know anyone there, I'm really sorry. This was off the internet free stock. So it's, but I think that looks great, really. I mean, that's the kind of place I would like to be in. I would love being here this morning, but I think it's really, really good. I mean, they look keen. Yeah. Enthusiastic? Good? How do we know? I wonder if they mean it. I wonder if all of them mean it. Maybe all of them mean it. Maybe some of them mean it. Maybe they don't know if they mean it. How do we measure? How do we measure that kind of authenticity? I don't know about you. I want to get this right. This is my shot since 16 years old when I came to Jesus Christ. When I'd never heard the good news of the cross of the gospel. That Christ died for, I'd never heard that before. I'd heard plenty about churches that I didn't want to go to. Boring. Irrelevant. So I thought. But I'd never heard the life-changing message of Jesus. And since then, the Spirit of God put a passion in my heart to tell as many people who will listen that there is a better way. And it's not some option or hobby. And I've let the Lord down many times in my life. I told you last week there was a period of 4 years as a young Christian. I didn't go near a church. It's terrible, isn't it, for a pastor to admit that? Could be on remand. But we want to be a place that can say, this is hard to do. But I also want to do this right. I don't want to get a thrill from going to the nearest church that's got the nearest gadgets, or the latest speaker, or the coolest church plant. I'm not interested in that. Because the problem I have, I don't know about you, is I take myself with me everywhere I go. That's my problem. I think it's not my own, it's not just my problem. But I want to get this right. And as we finished last week, if you're a visitor, don't worry, we finished a whole series on the book of Ezra. It's online. And the whole challenge of that series was for us to be a refocused people. A people who, last week we said, wanted to really do business with God. Because he has already expressed his passion and desire to do business with us, his creation. To bring us back to himself. Already. He's done enough. If he never gave us another single blessing again, we have Christ. So often it's not enough for my heart. And so last week we finished the series and said, we really want to be a refocused people. And there are some initiatives that might shape and help that, the 24/7 prayer, for sure. But at the end of that week, it's going to be so easy for us to say, well, okay. Get back into the demands of a very busy world. And I pray that actually it triggers something, the 24/7 week, that we don't even know it's going to trigger yet. I think God's that good. I really, really do. And so a new year, we have a new motto, a new fridge magnet. I usually get really excited about the fridge magnets. I've actually got, my fridge could preach. On my fridge, if you come and see my fridge, I'll bring a picture in from the, we started, I joined here September 2009, and then the first year, it was only 3 months, new year, 2010, we didn't have a magnet because we were just going through Ephesians and then Nehemiah at the time. And then from 2011, we started fridge magnets, and I have them all. The story of what the development, I have them all on my fridge. It's great. I can do back orders if you're really keen. And what I love, every so often I stand in the kitchen making a cup of tea and I think about the journey. Because it's really hard when you're maybe even new to a church. You might come in here and think, oh, it's all right. It's all right. And that can be true for a life. You may meet someone who's a believer and think, well, they've got so many issues. But often we don't know the journey of places or the journey of individuals that have come so far. And so I would encourage us to, what I need to do better is possibly communicate how that journey has worked over the last few years, how we are who we are today. But we've got a new motto. And this year is really around, and I pray it's an ongoing thing. It's a sense that we really need to know what matters. I really want to know what matters in this Christ-following life. If it's true, then this really matters. Really matters. You see, we can get tired very easily chasing round serving at the church, if that's our goal. I meet lots of folk where their goal is to grow the number of people sat on seats. And that's not a bad thing, but as a goal in itself, it's empty. And you see what really happened? I suppose around about maybe 5 years ago, it was really interesting. There was a change. There was a change which is still happening here of kind of emphasis. So the emphasis was moved from the mission, God's mission, actually being his and not the church's. So rather than the church of God has got a mission, we started to talk about, in fact, it's the God of mission who has a church. That it's his ball and that he calls us into partnership with him in the world and community where he's placed us, because he's already working. So he's not simply a God of the church program. I say this for the benefit of many people who've joined, or if you joined in the last year or so. So God is already at work in the community, in your office, in your family, in your neighborhood. He is already at work, and our role is to discover what he is up to and join him in partnership. We serve a missionary God whose desire is to bring the whole planet to himself and to bring a people. And so the ongoing motto, which you'll see on the bottom of the fridge magnet, which we carried on, is that we are God's people on God's mission in the Spirit's power. Thank you, Susie. With the message of his son. Did you hear that? We are in there with the triune God of mission, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, who's at work. We're God's people on God's mission in the Spirit's power with the message of his son. And that takes repeat after repeat after repeat after repeat. And so that what that's done is it's kind of, that is the who we are. Who am I? Well, I'm a child of God through Christ, and I'm on mission, God's mission, in the power of his Spirit. But not just about the mission of the church. Come to my church. This is around the message of his son. That's the message that we have. And it's wonderful. But what we've sensed over the past few weeks as a servant team here is that we really need also to focus on not just who we are, God's people on God's mission, but on what we do. What is it that we actually are called to do? And so this year, you'll see that we are, the fridge magnet says that we are people who receive, practice, and share. We multiply. Whatever we receive, we don't just celebrate that. We actually put it into practice. It changes what we do every day, what we receive from God. And that changing what we do also is contagious. It's passed on to other people who also then receive and practice and share. And so that's really the what we are. We are involved in a huge reproduction movement. That's what we are involved with. Nothing less than that. The goal is not for us to grow, to have 500 people meeting in this hall at all. That may or may not happen. Our goal is to simply reproduce people who love Jesus, with God, in partnership with the Spirit of God, to reproduce followers of Christ who receive, practice, and share. And so what I'm going to do for a few moments is just take one of the stories with a meaning, parables, that Jesus told. You see, in New Testament times, it's what was called an agrarian society. Agrarian societies were societies that relied on crops, they relied on land and harvest. And this reproduction would often be couched to them, if we were a first century audience like we heard Jesus speaking to the first century through Liz's reading, it would often be couched and communicated in, what I've just said would be communicated in terms of seeds, crops, harvest, and growth. Something, basically, that everyone listening to Jesus would understand. From the rich landowners to the poorest peasant farmer who paid the landowner 50% of his crops every year just to survive. They would all be listening and they would get this story. They understand about growth and reproduction. And if you think about it, if we communicate to people, everyone has to get it. There is no point today, this middle section, getting this. And everyone else going, what on earth was that about? The message of reproduction, of multiplication, of Christ followers, everyone has to get. So Jesus speaks to the crowd in language that they got. From a peasant farmer to a landowner. Everyone's going to have to get this. It's no good communicating to a few people. I've said that. And it is precisely into such a society. What really is remarkable, think about this. Jesus chooses that time to come to speak into a society with no social media, no airport terminals, no TV or mass media. And Jesus chose to start and entrust a world-transforming movement to that group of people, of landowners and peasant farmers and fishermen. He could have chosen any time in history, and he chose that time to come and start a world-changing movement. Some of you might like the West End musicals. I do. There was one called Jesus Christ Superstar. Don't know if you saw it. Whatever you think of that. They questioned, was the lyrics of the main song, Jesus Christ Superstar, questioned the timing of Jesus coming at that time. Let me read some of the lyrics to you. You'd have managed better if you'd had planned. Now why you choose such a backward time and such a strange land? If you'd come today, you could have reached the whole nation. Israel in 4 BC had no mass communication. You could wrap it. What did you do that for? Said the main lyrics of a song. Why did you choose that time to start a world-transforming movement that if it fails, we wouldn't be here? Decent question. Decent question. Thankfully, the King of the universe knows what he's doing. Because we might look round at one another like C.S. Lewis says in the Screwtape Letters and say, are these really God's chosen people? Is this plan really going to work with them? Not me. Are you sure you got this right, Lord? The fact we're standing here today, or sitting, means, thank God, the people Jesus spoke to, doesn't matter how many, got it. They got it. Since they got it, a progressively increasing number of other people since the first century to now also got it. Isn't that great? Are you grateful these people got it and saw it was precious enough? Because there's a lot of things in the world where you can get something and find it and it's precious and you can keep it to yourself. But this was something, like I often say, like Quality Street, made for sharing. But you see, people down the centuries have seen the need to pass it on. And this will continue to be the case, that we need to pass on the message of the cross and the kingdom until Jesus returns. Until the Lord chooses another period in history to return, just to see how he did. And you know what? I think that could be ours. If you keep your eye on Syria and Jerusalem, keep your eye on the prophetic activity in the world. There's never been a time like this. People say, oh, there's always been earthquakes. There's always been. Not like this. Not like this. There'll be wars, increased rumors of wars. And the Lord's going to choose a time. It could be our time. I'm absolutely convinced. Where he's going to come and say, how did your passing on exercise go? How did it go? He knows already. So the question that I've got, the first one for all of us, for me, first, always, is what is it we're passing on? I wonder what you're passing on. So many people say to me, oh, I'm trying to get my friend to come to church. I say this a lot. Now that's an honourable thing. Don't get me wrong. Hopefully if the word of God is faithfully preached, declared, communicated in whatever way, in church and in life groups, lives change. But we need to be clear, as God's people who are called to multiply, to reproduce, to make disciples that make disciples, is that we need to know what we're passing on. But you know, there's two things. There are two major things that we need to pass on. And it's the way God has always worked in Scripture, always worked. Firstly, is that God is calling a people to himself. God is calling a people to himself. It's his initiative. It's often called a covenant. It's right from the beginning of the Bible. God calling out Adam and Eve, Abraham, calling a people, Moses, to himself. God is calling a people to himself, which is made possible through his covenant initiative. We're living in a new covenant of the cross and Christ, but it's always been that God has called a people to himself through a covenant initiative. Right through scripture, God from the beginning calls people through. This is a covenant, is an agreement from a greater to a lesser, a king to a slave, or whatever it might be, and from God to his creation. This is how, well, these are the rules of what I'm going to do. I'm calling you to myself, and this is how it's going to work. That's the first thing that we are called to communicate, that God is still calling a people to him today through his new covenant through the cross. It's the only way. It's God's ball. And the second thing, which we often miss, is not only is God calling a people to himself, to come initially to himself, he's then calling a people to live and walk under his rule, to show our allegiance to our new king. Two parts. They are almost inseparable. Our allegiance doesn't buy our salvation. That's God's initiative. Don't put it in that category. But it's virtually impossible to say, I'm a Christ follower, without being an obedient follower of Jesus Christ. All I would say is we don't know who they are, but we need to question their original salvation. If I'm not obedient, I can stand in the crowd like that, and you haven't got a clue whether I mean it or not. I may even think I mean it. But the measure of my original response to Jesus Christ, which was involved repentance, a turning away from my old life, is measured by obedience. That's a sign, a symbol of my true turning to Christ. And can I say that is kind of a progressive thing? This is not a new gospel. The gospel of how we are saved and brought to God the Father is through the cross alone. In Christ alone, we are brought into his favor. And if that truly happens, then our lives show a life of at least wanting obedience. I want to. And so, as disciple makers, we are calling people to the message of the cross, to come and join God's people. And then we are declaring a new ruler, a new king. As we said the other week, when we stand up and declare Jesus is Lord, it means we can no longer intentionally in our hearts say no to Jesus. He's my boss. No, I do say no. I do say no. You know, 1 John says, you know, those who love Christ do not sin. Now, I know I do sin. Anyone here not sin? You can take next week, please. But it's a little bit like, this is who you're supposed to be. I told you the story before, it was at a school where we had to wear blazers. There was this school where they all had to wear blazers. And wear things in a smart way. And they had to carry the bags in a certain way at this school. And the students weren't allowed to carry the bags on the shoulders. But they did. But what the head teacher would do, he'd march around the corridors and he'd go up behind students who had the bags on the shoulders and he would throw the bag off the shoulders behind them and they would almost fall over. And he would say, students at this school do not carry their bags on their shoulders. Clearly they did. What he was saying was, that is not the standard of what we expect at this school. John says, you know, those who love Jesus truly, you know, we don't sin. That's not the way we're supposed to be. But we know with Romans 7 that I battle every day. I'm talking here about a two-pronged covenant where we're called to be in God's people. But then called to a life of obedience. The second one is almost an indication of what's truly happened at the beginning. And that pulls me up. We could call it the gospel of the cross and the gospel of the kingdom. Who is my boss? See, we are both saved and we are kingdom citizens. If Christ is our, let me give it this way. If Christ is our visa, then the kingdom is on our passport. If Christ is our visa, without a visa, we're not in. But when we're in on our passport, we are kingdom followers. You cannot have anything else but kingdom on your passport if you're truly in through that visa, because you are a Christ follower. Seriously. And I might hide my passport because I'm ashamed I'm a member of the kingdom sometimes. But it's about a calling. And that's why I cry out every day, Spirit of God, help me to be a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. Because without him, I can do nothing. Spirit of God, this pulls me up. But Lord, I want to. To those who have already come to Christ, Paul says from a prison cell in Philippians 3, but our citizenship is in heaven. We're citizens of a new place. And we eagerly await a savior from there. And it is our grasp, our acceptance, our embracing of and subsequent obedience to this two-sided gospel of the cross and the kingdom that many of the parables of Jesus speak into. And I'm not going to be long on this. I'm not going to chunk through this parable because it's one of the few parables that Jesus explains. But you see, when it comes to speaking about those who get it and those who don't, this is a great parable. It's not how busy we are in church that I'm going to be measured on. How much I simply read my Bible. How many meetings I go to. But how. How we both initially and continually respond to Christ and his kingdom call. How we demonstrate our kingdom citizenship. Purchased by the cross. Without that, we're nowhere. We could do 10 lifetimes of great works, but without the cross, we're still in our rebellion and sin. And this two-pronged approach, responding to Christ, is captured in so many of the Gospels. And the importance of being obedient to Christ's kingdom call, to be a true citizen of the kingdom of heaven, to demonstrate that on earth, is in Matthew 13. There's parable after parable. Now, there's lots of parables in Matthew 13 which talk about obedience in language of seed and growth and weeds and soil and fruit. So Jesus is talking to the crowd here. And so he's talking, well, what do you mean about following you in the kingdom? And Jesus basically, you could paraphrase this, when it comes to the stuff of the kingdom, people are like the seeds you put in the ground. That seed is the word of God. When people respond that way, their hearts are like the soil. That's how people are. That's how you'll know who belongs to me. The disciples asked Jesus the question. How do we know that? How are we going to know in such a community we saw earlier on? How are we going to know, Lord? Who means it? What did Jesus say? What did he say? By their what? Yeah. By their love. In another place, by their fruit. By their fruit. The Bible talks about harvest and fruit. Harvest and fruit. When it comes to this stuff, people are like the seeds you put in the ground. Some don't make it and some do. Some look like they're going to make it and then they don't. It hasn't really grabbed them. It's not transformed. And as we look at this parable of the sower, really briefly, it's also in Mark 4 and Luke chapter 8. There's an increasing collection of people gathering around Jesus who are not getting it. The early days have gone. And this is becoming, there's a few more questions coming out. And questions are good, healthy. But the initial crowds, just about, this is the beginning of the thinning out bit. People are asking questions. People are questioning Jesus' authority. How can you heal on the Sabbath? What about this? Why should we listen to him? Isn't that just Joseph's son? If you read the section before. And so I can understand that the disciples would hear this questioning. People would see that Jesus wasn't going to deliver what they wanted. I meet so many Christians today, or people who said they used to follow Christ, who think he has let them down. They think he's let them down. And I would question the gospel they received. As though there was this great vending machine in the sky that was going to fix all our hang-ups. And as soon as we came to Christ, all our life was going to be amazing. That is not what it says in God's word. And so the disciples probably may have been worried about this. Started to question, had they made the right choice following, giving up their nets, giving up their lives to follow Christ? All these other people questioning, it can be unsettling. And so Jesus, as he often would, wanted to catch their attention and focus. So he told them a story with a meaning. Verse 3:8, then he told them many things in parables. A farmer went out to sow his seed. And Jesus goes on to tell them a parable, that story with a meaning I mentioned. And he tells them a parable where 3 out of the 4 seeds don't make it. It's not a statistical parable, but that's... it's very realistic. See, the Bible is quite reductionist. When it comes to people truly getting things, when the rubber hits the road, whatever picture we want to use, what I see in Scripture, whether it's with Gideon, whether it's with the exile returning as compared to the Exodus, or whatever it might be, the numbers seem to go down when people really get it. I'm only saying, and I'm not saying big mega churches are bad. I just think maybe it might be easy to not get it and no one knows. Because when we're in a church where people are saying, how are you really? How is it going with your time in Scripture? How is your prayer life? It's hard to wriggle out of that. Because if I fly in and fly out on a Sunday, I might just do it. Might just fly under the radar. And I could be involved in church stuff which masks what's really going on with my allegiance to the King. That's all I'm saying. And this gets me. I'll be judged more harshly, the Bible says. Did you know that? Some of you might be pleased about that. But I feel that heavily. And so Jesus talks about this farmer who sows a seed, and the seed falls on the path and the rocky ground and the thorns and good soil. People have suggested, actually, rather than the parable of a sower, because it's not mentioned after the beginning, it should be the parable of a soil. It's about how the soil reacts, how the soil receives and grows and develops a harvest. How will I know? How do we know those who are truly your? It's with the matter of fruit. And it's one of the few parables Jesus explains. I don't know why I won't explain it. Let Jesus explain it. Verse 18. After he says why he speaks in parables, so the people are often hearing and never really understanding. Listen to them what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom... he's still alive, no cross yet, no resurrection yet. Just saying. Listen to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in the heart. It's almost like what's just been said is gone. This is a seed along the path. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. They're at the front. What a great seminar. But since they have no roots, they last a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, when they've got to pay a price for being a Christ follower, when there's a cost of discipleship, which we'll look at in 2 Timothy, they quickly fall away, says Jesus. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and deceitfulness of wealth choke the word. I've got many other things to think about as well as church and Jesus. It's just something that I try to do my best, you understand? I'm doing my best, Keith. Shut up. It's making me feel bad. I just don't want to come. This is Jesus explaining this. That's why I didn't want to explain it, because Jesus explains it. You see, Jesus says those that fell on thorns are like those who are distracted by everything. And I don't know a time in history that we've had so many distractions. We're just, our young people and children are bombarded with stuff. How do we have a social media policy? How do we do all that? How do we, as parents or carers or youth workers, talk about a sense of just what you know, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Pray for our youth team who are trying to make disciples of people who are just bombarded with other stuff that glitters and shines. No replacement for Christ followers. Pray for authentic Christ followers that we have, thank God, and more to come and join and communicate the love of Christ to our team, our young people, children. But the seed, verse 23 says, Jesus is in red here, falling on good soil, refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop yielding 160 or 30 times what was sown. You see this message of kingdom allegiance, hearing the word of God and then doing it. This message of kingdom allegiance to a new rule, a new king, is important for us today. We can isolate the gospel, and I know places that do that, simply to come to the cross, and then you've got a ticket to heaven. The rest of the time, you're on your own. And you see, all these people in this parable hear the word of God. So all of us, look at us here today. All of us, even those maybe online, we hear the word of God and respond differently. Verse 19, the path, no impact whatsoever. I'm already thinking about what I'm going to do next. 20 to 21, rocky ground, initial enthusiasm, but trouble or persecution. And Jesus says, because of the word. So this is an authentic start. It's like, I really want to do this. Jesus said, blessed are you when you are persecuted for my sake. I just don't know what persecution for Christ really is. Do I? If my neighbor just, or someone, when I was a young Christian in the Royal Navy and someone calling me a Bible basher is persecution, bring it on. It might be if I'm locked in a cell or I'm killed in my family without a dad because their pastor's preaching. I don't know. I'm so fickle, is it? Are we fickle? And so you see, they fall away. There's no root with the second one that falls, you see, on the rocky ground. But you see, Psalm 1 says, doesn't it? Blessed is the person who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. For his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. So what? He is like a tree planted by streams of water, yields its fruit. See, the link is deep into the word of God. Roots go deep into the word of God, and it's by streams of water, and it's not just in Psalm 1. Bears fruit. I want to bear fruit for the kingdom. I have no fruit of my own. Have you ever seen plastic fruit? Have you ever mistaken it for a real one and gone, oh. I don't want to have a plastic fruit. Showing. Of juicy. The oranges in Portugal are amazing. God. The ones roadside and the limes are just real. In verse 22, Jesus speaks about the thorns. They just get taken out by the worries of everyday life. I'm going to squeeze Christ in. But in verse 23, there's hope for all of us. The good soil hears, understands, and produces a harvest. I'm going to finish with just a question, really. Please bear with me now. Two questions then. Which soil are you or I today? Is your life got a harvest? It might just be that little person at work or whoever it is who's just asked you questions and you've prayed for because they just know there's a shine on your face and there's a love in your heart and that you love Jesus. Which soil are you? Could I ask a second question? Do you mind? Thinking about the very first followers, no social media, landowners and peasants who had to get it, else we're not here. And since then, through the dark ages and all sorts of things, didn't even have an English Bible till the middle of the 17th century. This is new to us. If a legacy, I'm asking myself this is really important. If the legacy of the cross and the kingdom relied on you and me, what would the future of this project look like? Am I going to love Jesus, go to my grave, and have no fruit? You know, thank God in his sovereignty. It doesn't solely rely on us. Isn't that amazing? But this is our postcode. A couple of years ago, we had a summer series with Josh in Esther, where it said, this is our time as well. Our call. I am so pleased that someone loved me enough, I've said this a lot, to once tell me about Christ, forgiveness, the cross. But I'm not satisfied to sit here and sing about it and raise my hands. I love doing that. I do it if I was at the back today. You didn't have to look. I'm doing it for the Lord. It's not a show. But I'm not satisfied to sit in here and saying, I'll stand. Yeah. I've got to do it. His love, Paul says, his love compels me to do it. I want to be someone, this is my fridge magnet, here we go, who receives, practices, and shares, who produces fruit. I really do. I want to, and I find it hard to do it. I've got to keep reminding myself, because I forget easily. So as we move forward as a team here together, as a servant team, the leadership, and as we move forward to seek the Holy Spirit in prayer over these 7 intense days, and beyond, whatever he says to us. I want to encourage all of us to be fruit bearers. Whatever that looks like. It could be very different. We could use many words to remind us over the coming year or years. But receive, practice, and share will do. If they do the job. I hope they'll encourage us, those words, to ask the 3 questions that I've got here. On the screen, I think. How could we just ask? You see, Jesus often, he didn't just tell people and make them feel bad. He would ask a question, then walk off and get them to think about it. Could I just ask you today, whatever you forget, if you forget my name, whatever you forget, could we over the coming weeks ask ourselves, because that's the best one to do it, how am I receiving? How am I receiving God's truth in whatever form? Is this the only thing I'm receiving on a Sunday? You must feel quite dry in the week. I'm just saying, because I know I do, when it's just a Sunday. It must be quite hard for you. And I'm not just talking about being here again another day of the week, because there's all sorts of ways you can receive the word of truth. Through apps on your phone, there's things around the room, read scripture app and all sorts of things. There's small groups, there's one-to-ones. You can't get out because you've got 7,000 children. That's wonderful. God's blessed you. Calling a friend round for coffee and sharing what God's spoken to you about the word of God is wonderful. How am I receiving, Lord? How am I receiving? How am I receiving encouragement, his word? How is that then changing me? How am I practicing? Could we ask ourselves that as well this year? How am I practicing what I've received? How do I exercise what I know? You know, I could watch running videos all day. There's some good runners in this room. I could watch running videos for the rest of my life and never run. And I'd never become a runner. There comes a point I've got to put my trainers on. I've got to put, and even if it's cold and I don't want to do it, and I've got to get out there and put one foot in front of the other. And do you know what? When I first joined the running club and I saw Stuart running about 6,000 miles an hour, I thought, I'll never in a million years. And I'll never. He's brilliant. He's natural. But do you know what? I'm a runner. Look at me. You wouldn't put me in the Olympics, would you? I'm a runner. Because there's different runners. Some are real, really, really fruitful and great. And others run and they're still all right because they're running. But I have to put those videos and those books and those running magazines into practice. And just, they might have some wisdom in there for me. So I do it. And I'm getting better. Christmas didn't help. But I'm getting better. I lost 3 pounds this week on the treadmill. Maybe I need to then ask, how am I then sharing? I'm receiving and I'm practicing. I could receive God's word. I could practice in the church. I could do all sorts of things and be kind to people. How am I then training someone else, passing it on so that in 100 years from now, should the Lord tarry, not come back in that time? There's a congregation of faithful people here. Just like Mr. Davis in 1937 started a gospel work in the center of this city. Because of the faithfulness of people, and we'll have a commissioning service when Mr. Davis' son's going to come, and he's hopefully going to say a word to us as well about those early days, where previous pastors, where John and John Grindel and Peter Phipps and Ian McNair are going to come, and we have a gospel legacy because people passed it on, and I don't want it to stop with me. I don't think you do either. So, my role. All of our roles, the servant team, and the role for each other is to help us receive, practice, and share this amazing gospel. Glorious gospel. I'm just going to wind this up. And you know, it'll look different for each of us. It'll look different. Because we all need to get it, whether we're a landowner or a peasant farmer. Whatever we do, whether we're a business executive, a project manager, whether we're a homemaker or whatever it might be, or a teenager or someone at university, whatever it might be, or college, doesn't matter. We all need to get it. It's always been that way that everyone had to get it and understand that we need to be receivers, practicers and sharers. The message of the cross and the kingdom has always been that way. Something for everyone to get. Back then, with seeds and growth, and harvest and fruit. And now, as each of us is called to receive, practice and share. To receive the forgiveness there is in Christ at the cross. Receive his word daily to instruct and encourage us in our new kingdom walk. To practice what we are shown, what the Spirit reveals to us. What the Spirit shows us. To demonstrate to a watching world that we have a new king and ruler now. Who demands our allegiance. And then finally, to share and show others how to follow Christ. What that means and looks like for them in their context. How am I receiving? How am I practicing? How am I sharing? And you know, don't compare yourself to others. No point me comparing myself with Stuart. I'd get depressed real quick. And he's taller and everything. Good friend. We're both runners. Aren't we, Stuart? I'm a runner, aren't I? I'm a runner. I'm all right. Thank you, Stuart. Jesus said, some produces a harvest of 30, some produced a harvest of 60, and some 100. But do you know what? He describes them all as good soil. Do what you do. Do what you can. You might not be 100. You might be a 30 like me. Do what you can. Because you're good soil. You're good soil. Just do it. And that would be great. And our soil. Look at the soil coming in. There's more soil going to be poured into the church. Isn't it marvellous? We've got the soil coming in. God has entrusted. The God of the universe has entrusted these lives to us. What are we going to do? Who knows in 60 years that there might be our future pastor sat amongst them declaring. Who knows what the Lord's going to do in this place as we head into a week of 24/7 prayer. As we step into 2018, please music group come and lead us for a final song, whatever or two. Music group are around. Jason, thank you. Great, thank you. We're going to have a song now. As we step into 2018, I pray that as God's people, on God's mission, in the Spirit's power, with the message of His Son, we will become a people that receive, practice, and share. Would you let me pray? That's done, I think. Let me pray as the children and the musicians come. Don't worry about the noise. I love the sound of farming. This is our soil. This is good. Shall we pray together? Let's just pray. Father, thank you that you call us primarily through the cross. Without that, Lord, we're nothing. We thank you that by your grace we've been saved. And we come now, but Lord, we're called to obedience. We're called to faithfulness. So Holy Spirit, would you take everything we've been given and would you pour it out of our souls and our mouths and our hearts? Might we show, might it change what we do on a day-to-day basis? May we repent, turn around and follow you. And may as we do that, that be attractive. So others ask the question, what is it? And we can share and show people how to be close followers of Jesus. Grow your kingdom, we pray, Lord. Have your way amongst us. May each of us in our own sphere, 30, 60 or 100, in whatever way you've called us, may we be declared in your sight good soil, fruitful soil that produced a harvest for you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for your patience today. I really appreciate it. God bless. If you'd like prayer, if you've been challenged, come and see me or anyone you're with who you trust and like prayer with. Please do. It's fantastic to see you. Don't rush away at the end. Thank you, music team. We appreciate everything you do.
You have been listening to a broadcast here from Bethel Church in Coventry. For more information and other sermons, why not visit us online at www.bethelcoventry.org.uk.